On this episode, we talked to digital marketing manager Amanda Iyer.
Being assaulted with a cheeseburger.
Quelling the workaholic desires by volunteering at Shelterbox.
I'd love to be hit with a Samoan outside of a car window.
Thunder! 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 Thunder!
Welcome to the Thunder Nerds, a light for you in dark places when all other lights go out. My name is now and forever JD Riot.
I'm Eric Shin.
And I am Frederick Philip Von Weiss. And you are listening to the Thunder Nerds, a design and developer discussion for all levels of people in the industry that simply love what they do and do web good. Ah, the light, huh?
Yeah, that's a Lord of the Rings quote, you know, showing full nerddom.
Nice. Very nerdy of you. I like that.
It was so nerdy.
I never really liked those movies, to be honest.
The Lord of the Rings movies? Yeah. There's a lot of walking in those.
Yeah,
movies.
The books are okay, but the movies, I don't know.
I don't understand how you make one small book three movies, but apparently hundreds of millions of dollars can make anything happen.
Exactly. That's how that happens.
It is.
So today on the podcast, digital marketing manager Amanda Iyer. Welcome, Amanda.
Thanks, guys. I have to say I'm a little offended about you guys bashing Lord of the Rings.
Oh, really?
Well, none of us are bashing the original Tolkien.
Okay.
We're just bashing the Peter Jackson abomination.
Okay, okay. You're forgiven.
Are you a big fan of the movies?
Of all of the movies, yeah. I love the marching. Yeah.
I mean, you could watch literally on loop just nonstop Macy's Day Parades and get the same thing.
Okay.
There might be better dialogue though in the Macy's Day Parade stuff.
I think there might be, yeah.
But no violence, yeah. Or wargs.
Well, I don't know about no violence. It is,
yeah. I mean, have
New
you
York.
Seen some of those floats?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they get pretty violent. I've seen Spider-Man and Snoopy get tangled. It is vicious.
You guys are talking about Black Friday.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, Amanda, what are you doing these days? I see you're working at Tervis. What are you doing over there? Are you now a digital marketing manager at Tervis?
I am, yeah. I started back in October, and I'm basically responsible for trying to get people to the websites. Yeah, so Tervis.com is the main site, so... Yeah, whatever I can do to get new audiences there. And also, we have e-commerce that we're on a lot of marketplaces like Amazon and Jet and eBay. So trying to get as much product sold through there as well.
And for those people out there that don't know what Tervis is, what is Tervis?
Tervis is a company that has been around for about 70 years, and we make insulated tumblers. So basically 16-ounce tumblers. Let's see. There's a sippy cup that has been added recently, water bottles. One of the things that people sometimes don't know is on Tervis.com, we just launched a new site a couple weeks ago. We're very happy with it. And you can now create a custom tumbler. So for Mother's Day, let's say, if you wanted to take some photos, if you had a really adorable baby, I don't know, recently, and wanted to send your mom some photos of a very cute little tyke, you could do that and include a personalized Mother's Day design. So it's kind of like the idea of the new Facebook with the stamps and text that you can lay over your photos. But this is just a product. So that's what
that's
we do.
Cool. What's the turnaround on that?
It depends, but usually you can have a product within a week is once it's created and produced. Sometimes what happens, though, is people will include things like a Nike logo or, let's say, Manchester United logo for those soccer fans out there, or even Lord of the Rings. Like, you can't just put Gollum on there. There's a little bit of trademark, so... Yeah, so then it might not get approved, and then you'd have to resubmit. So,
That's like going to Kinko's and printing out business cards saying you're the director of Lord of the Rings or something like that. You're Tobey Maguire and having like the logo on there.
Frowned upon. Right. Yeah. Only Gollum can do that.
You can legally change your name and likeness, I guess, if you really want to.
Sounds like a lot of work.
I did it all for the Tumblr.
It's like, I'll find a way. I want that one person who's like, fine. Fine, Tumblr. You want to see what I'm willing to do to get this Tumblr? Here we go.
I wonder if there's like a... do you have to wait a little while before your name gets changed back if you wanted to do that? Because, man, I would be going for like hundreds of aliases. You know?
That's a very good question. I have absolutely no idea. Yeah.
Oh, is that not in your realm?
No. Yeah, I'm just trying to get people to the site and hopefully have them convert. And then beyond that, the matters of their personal likeness and legality of their identity. That must be another department.
What would you say then you do as a marketing manager every day? Like, you're trying to get conversions, but what does that mean? What is your day-to-day?
Sure. A big part of that right now for us is paid advertising. So retargeting ads, text ads on Google AdWords and Bing as well. So we do quite a bit of that. And then we have about 15 different resellers that are really active online. So trying to cooperate with them so that we're not driving our cost per click up so high for our branded terms. And we do a lot of stuff with promotions. Like, as an example, we are running a Mother's Day promotion right now where you can buy three, get one free. So we need to let our current email subscribers know about those promotions. And we also will be running paid media, and we do a lot of affiliate programs as well. So sites like RetailMeNot, really any big online shoppers, they're probably pretty familiar with them, but you have a coupon code, you get that code, you go to the site and you get a special discount. So really anything that would bring someone to Turvis.com and then hopefully help them with their purchase.
What kind of tools are you using for something like that?
We use CJ for our affiliate program right now. And then for reporting, a lot of Google Analytics, Kenshu for pulling reports related to budget and financial planning for our paid media. That's pretty much it. Well, and then also email. We're working with Bronto right now. So.
Do you use things like Litmus for testing and all that?
We actually have within Bronto, we have a preview tool. So it's not Litmus, it's whatever their tool is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
what about like a social media team? Are you guys working hand in hand with that, or do you guys employ that, or is that offsite?
We actually have a dedicated social media team in-house. Yeah. So we have a social media manager. There's actually, we have a pretty large web team. And so some of the team is dedicated to operations. So making sure that the site is up and running constantly. They were really involved to make sure all of the merchandise would get uploaded from the old site into the new site. And then we're constantly coming out with new designs and new licenses, so the merchandising team manages that. And then
and as a marketing director, like, what do you get from them? Like, what do you utilize? Like, how do they make your life easier basically every day? Like,
sure.
And how do you make their life easier?
Well, the operations team keeps the site up and running. So that's pretty crucial.
Without a site, you don't have product.
So our entire team is devoted to selling products online and making the experience as engaging and as delightful as possible. But to your point, we all have little pieces. So the operations team does include merchandising. So when we have new products, like we launched a bunch of new designs for Mother's Day. We're doing something right now where it's a Mom and Me tea bundle. So there's some special packages, I guess you could say, that go beyond what we usually do. So the merchandising team does a lot to make sure that we have the right product photos, that the URLs are correct, that the product description is there. And since our catalog is so huge, it's a lot of work for them.
Well, it's also very limitless, really, with the new stuff that you guys are doing. It's like, I don't even know if you can quantify your catalog other than like there's this cup, but you can do so much to it.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. And then usually we have drops throughout the year. So when we drop a design, we retire it. so they're managing that process too. So, yeah, and
oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and then the social, we actually work with the marketing communications team, which is a different team. So we kind of work together to have a calendar for the year of what promotions we're pushing, what messaging we're pushing, and then just making sure we have a B2B business as well. So we sell to Bed Bath & Beyond as an example, Target, Amazon, which I already mentioned, and they need to know about our upcoming promotions and about new products. So we have a schedule for when we communicate with them as well. So an email marketing program for our direct-to-consumer business, which is Turbis.com, and then we have a B2B business as well. So that's the next thing that our operations team is working on, is a new website launch for B2B.
Did your internal team build your website, or did you venture outside of that?
It was a collaborative effort. So the design was done in-house. We have 3 designers currently in-house now that are dedicated to digital, and they work really closely with the print design team. Actually, our whole creative team, it also includes new designs. So they call them line designs. So they'll come up with, like I was saying, the new Mother's Day designs. So we have some designers that are focused on new product as well. But so the web design team came up with the look and the feel, and then we're on the Demandware platform. It's kind of like an enterprise version of Magento, just souped up. And we worked with an integration team. They're called PDS, and so they helped us with the launch as well. And then we have a technical team in-house as well that kind of managed the PDS relationship.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, man, when you say Magento, my heart just drops.
Yeah. that's what that was. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say anything. I thought maybe it's improved, but okay. Maybe not.
But well, she did say Magento-like, Eric. Not Magento, but yeah.
Well, but
Magento? Oh, boy.
Did you say, oh, please? Magento, oh, please. Yeah. Sounds familiar.
I had a project where the biggest issue was it was a purchase online and download some kit. And I don't know how, but you would click on the download link and it looked like something downloaded. Mm-hmm. And you would go to your downloads folder and nothing is there. And then the e-commerce, because we wanted to allow like at least like 3 downloads, it says, congratulations, downloading. You now have 2 tries left. And we're like, oh, shit. It was just like how to cause a panic induce. It was just like, it was like throwing a tennis ball and going looking for it. It's not there. Hey, you got 2 tries. What the fuck? But man.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Where did it go? Just,
I bet customer service loved that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always a challenge, too, when you have some kind of external team building something that you don't have maybe that granular control over them, where you have some kind of phone call or email relationship. But, there's always pluses and negatives to any kind of experience like that. And it sounds like you guys had a good one. And I'm just looking at the site. It looks great. It looks like everything came out really nice.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the experience of building your own cup. That's pretty cool.
Yay. Yeah, we're really excited because before we did the launch, probably like everyone that you guys talked to, is we've had such a spike in mobile traffic. And so you couldn't really customize on mobile. So now you can do that right from your phone, which is really handy, especially because that's where so many people store their photos. So it just makes it easy.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If you're just sitting on your couch at, 7 o'clock at night, and you're on your phone and you don't want to pick up your computer, you just figure I could just do this from here, and you try to do it and you can do it, then you're much more likely to get that conversion than somebody going, oh, I got to do this from my computer. Maybe I'll get that another time.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Put it on my to-do list when I get back home. When I get back home.
Done.
Yeah, then it just might not ever happen.
Yeah. Trying to remove barriers always. Yeah. That's a good way to look at it.
So how would you and forgive me for my ignorance, but a Tumblr, that's actually kind of the first time I've I was thinking like the Tumblr website. I was like,
like a blog.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about putting photos, and I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of what it is.
We can put put your blog inside your cup. So,
Well, yeah, I don't know if you want. I don't know if you want to put all of the blogs on Tumblr on your thing. Yeah, like I. That's why I asked that question. I've known what Tervis Tumblr is for a while. I actually have a few relatives of friends that are relatively high up in the company, and they So I mean, I've known for a while, but when you say Tumblr, you know, or Tervis, and you know, like that, or Tumblr, it's like. Yeah, their questions arise. That's why, like, clarity is pretty big.
It's funny you say
it's
that.
It's not like a four-wheel drive vehicle with a roll cage, and it's not a slinky. I'm assuming it's a sort of like a sippy cup.
Well, no, Tumblr refers to all of it's because it's kind of like a cup within a cup. The two engineers that designed it so that it doesn't sweat and it keeps your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. But what's funny is we did some user testing before we launched the site, and there was a Canadian fellow that kept on saying, "What's about this Tumblr? I don't know what a Tumblr is." And it was just funny, like all of the prompts that he was supposed to do, he was so caught up on the Tumblr, and it just confused the heck out of him. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
man, I was just thinking how doable would it be if say for example, I know that they're making some screens to where they're very flexible and you can wrap them. Mm-hmm. But if you hook up like Wi-Fi on your cup or whatever, and you get like news updates.
Yeah, like a digital signage.
A Tumblr feed. On your Tumblr, you know?
I think you're onto something.
Ship it away, and then all of a sudden a notification comes in.
Yeah. Well,
Eric, you just lost so much money, Eric.
Yeah, I know.
I've already emailed our VP of e-commerce, so we'll probably have that within the week.
You better get on that.
Yeah, right?
Shoes will be super easy.
How did you get your start in marketing?
Sure. I started out in public relations. I went to the University of Florida, their School of Journalism, and I loved it. And my first job out of college was actually in Sarasota. It was working for the Girl Scouts, which I didn't even know that they had staff positions. But anyways, it was a membership position where I was responsible for growing the number of Girl Scouts in a particular territory, which I have to say, it's easier to get people to give you money than it is to have them give you their time. So anyways, that was kind of how my very first job. And then from there, I went on to a trade association where I was managing their events. They would have an international swim meet with athletes from all over the country, and then a publication. So I can't even believe this was a job, but one of the things I was supposed to do is write all of the articles, sell all the ads, and then also make all the updates to the website. So
yes.
I'm like, what? That was a job?
Yeah, I was a marketing director for a company where it was three companies, one publication, and I was also the sales manager. So yeah, trust me, I know exactly how many hats you had to wear.
So, and it just kind of, I think because of the time that I entered the industry and because I was young, I would always get whatever social projects and whatever website projects there were. So it would be like, we think we want a new website. And then I ended up kind of spearheading that. And because it was in the field of marketing. So I ended up working for a software company, and then I was there, and we shockingly couldn't get enough developers. It's a common refrain that you hear around here. So as a, I don't know, as a way to try to network a little bit more, I volunteered for this tech conference thinking that would be really good for the software company as a way to try to meet other tech talent. So I say other, I wouldn't consider myself tech talent. I just know that we needed it. So anyways,
I would consider tech.
Okay. So yeah, that's how I met Anand Palagar, and he was starting an agency, and then he already had one employee and asked me to join, and I did that for several years, and I really love how interactive the spaces and how things are always changing. And it's, I don't know, it's definitely my field. I love everything about advertising, marketing, brainstorming, and then the business side of things. I did end up somewhere along the lines, I went back to school and got an MBA because I felt like I was a little bit too far on the creative side. I wanted to balance myself a little bit more. Yeah, but this is right now, I've Tervis is the best company I've ever worked for. It's just, I don't know, I'm really surprised that they're in my backyard, basically. Yeah, some really basic things about organizational development and behavior and how you treat people, but I'm amazed that other companies get it so wrong. So it's been good for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies that don't get that, that don't get investing in their own people or just being, I don't know, just being civil to each other on a fundamental level.
If you have to time clock when you use the restroom, you're in a bad spot.
Here's your roll for the week.
Or your bucket, you know, whatever. Whatever floats your boat.
That's cool. So how did you find going back to school? Was that easy in this stage of your
career? Oh, yeah. Well, I am, I don't know, I'm a perpetual student. So I just love learning. I love reading. I love writing papers. School's so easy, right? You study, you take a test, you write a paper, you do a project, and you're just, you get an A, like most times, right? Whereas work, you're working on this project, things can go all kinds of wrong, and it's not because you didn't do your due diligence. It's just there's so many variables that you can't control for, especially people. Which kind of, that would sometimes happen on school projects where you have a project with four people and it's you and one other person that's kind of carrying everyone's weight. But
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, that's great. And how long did that take you to? Like
about
2 years?
Maybe two and a half. Maybe a little bit more than two and a half years. Yeah. So,
did you find that interfered with your regular work at all?
No, I actually started. It's funny. I started when I was working at the Girl Scouts, and it was such a weird, for me, it was really odd. We were only allowed to work 35 hours a week if you were salaried, and the HR director would actually kick you out of the office if you had worked your 35. So I was kind of bored. And I've always, even when I was in undergrad, I always had at least two jobs. So I like to be busy, and it was kind of driving me crazy, actually, just to work the usual.
I think you're pretty much a overachiever, is what I remember from working with you.
No, I think I just don't like to be idle. I'm working on it.
Yeah, well, you're a very passionate person, and you like to do things, and you like to contribute. It's who you are. Speaking of that, I wanted to talk a little bit about what you're doing with ShelterBox and what ShelterBox is, if you could give everybody a little explanation about that and what you're doing with it.
Sure, yeah. I started volunteering with ShelterBox back in 2011, and they are an international relief organization that provides life-saving aid to disaster survivors. And sometimes it's a natural disaster like a typhoon or an earthquake. We've seen a lot of earthquakes in the news recently with Japan and Ecuador. But sometimes it's actually a man-made situation, a man-made conflict, like the situation that we're in right now with Syria. So it's really helping anyone that was displaced for any reason. They don't have a home. And the idea behind it is getting everything that you and your family would need to survive if you've lost everything. So each shelter box comes in a green box, and it is customized to whatever your specific needs are. So it could, most of them come with a tent, but they don't have to. So this tent is like kind of amazing. It's a tent within a tent that can withstand hurricane winds and floods. And yeah, they're sick, and it can fit comfortably about 10 people. And actually, Fred, you could stand up in it and then have another foot. So even tall people can stay comfortably. I know. But yeah, I absolutely love the organization. They're mostly volunteer-based. So they have about 400 volunteers throughout the world. And actually, here in Sarasota, Lakewood Ranch, there's the U.S. headquarters. So kind of close to home. But Yeah, it's a great organization. And since they were founded in 2000, they've provided aid for over 1 million people.
Wow. What's the cost price point on, say, like on a shelter box?
Sure.
Like if you were going to send it out to 1,000 people, what's each unit cost you guys to
make? About $1,000.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. But not everybody needs a tent. So sometimes, like in Haiti, we responded and there was a tremendous need. And it's meant to be temporary housing, not permanent. However, several years later, there were people that were still in their shelter boxes. So we ended up sending a repair kit so that way they could use tarp and kind of patch their shelter box tent to make it last a little longer.
Coming from someone who has lived in Haiti, I will tell you that tent that you just described is better than about in Port-au-Prince and in Cap-Haitien. That is probably better than 90% of the housing that I saw when I was around there, unless they were like rich and in the actual innards of the city.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's devastating.
Do they come with a tumbler?
No, they don't come with a tumbler, but some of them do come with a stove and cooking utensils and water purification kits, because a lot of times when there's flooding like this, the water isn't safe to drink. So, and depending on the weather conditions, sometimes there'll be extra blankets, if it's in a really cold environment. So,
how did they get started doing this? Where did the idea come from?
The founder actually is in the UK in Cornwall, and he was watching some film of disaster relief, and basically there was a truck and people were throwing food outside of the truck, and then all of these survivors were scrambling and kind of fighting to pick up the food on the ground, and he felt like there was just no dignity in the relief efforts. So his feeling was that there's got to be a better way. It has to be simple. It has to be deployed quickly to the people that need it. And one thing that's really nice about us is since we're volunteer based, usually we're not just giving aid, we're giving people to deliver the aid. They have something called an emergency responder program. So these first responders will come and deliver the aid. They will show the community leaders how to put the shelter box tents up so that they can do it quickly and safely. And we're working together, and it's more about giving people a chance to rebuild their lives and a fresh start.
So people were actually throwing food out of car windows, and they weren't even stopping?
It's more like, and you probably see news footage of this all the time. So you're in this disaster zone and there's so many people that need food and they need water. And so what you'll see a lot of times is they're just throwing the food and the water from the truck, and maybe things are a little bit better. I mean, we were founded in 2000. Wow. So, but that was the impetus for starting the organization.
Well, I can see in certain countries where you're driving a truck full of assets through, and depending on the disaster, if you stop the truck, you might get some kind
of... Oh, you're gone.
Yeah. Some kind of situation where people rush the truck.
You've got more hungry mouths than you have food, but you still want to get the food out there just for anybody who can get it. So a lot of the times what they were doing was just driving through and just dropping it. You'll see the UN has been doing that for years, but they would just drop food into a country.
Yeah.
And then it was basically whoever got to it was who was eating.
And I think I remember reading something about that and an issue arising to where, I don't know what kind of fighters, but they would run out, grab all the food, and then use that to their advantage.
Yeah, that was happening in Syria too. Yeah.
Wow. It's just when you explained it, I don't know why, but I had this vivid imagination of just somebody driving past a homeless person on the street and then tossing a, smacking them with a cheeseburger as they drove past. I'm like, wow, that's, whew.
Couldn't even be nutritious in this hypothetical situation, Eric. Thanks. It's like, not only are we going to throw food at you.
Salad,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
Not only are we going to throw food at you. It's going to be completely like devoid of nutritional value.
You know what?
Good times.
I love how you guys, you didn't pick up on actually just like assaulting someone from a moving vehicle with whatever. But you picked up on, is it nutrition value?
Nutritional value. Exactly.
Are you smacking them with a stick of celery, or is it
If you've ever been starved, you don't care what hits you. If you can put it in your mouth and eat it, and it'll give you back some life-giving nutrients, you can throw a water bottle at my head if I haven't drinking in 4 days. When I wake up, I'm gonna drink it. Thank you. But don't throw a Coca-Cola at my head. Like, I'm not trying to get more dehydrated.
Now, you're not too far off, too. I mean, look at America. Just in the late 20s, early 30s, you probably had a lot of people throwing hamburgers at people's faces and them enjoying it.
In McDonald's commercials? Like,
are you talking about the Hamburglar?
Maybe. Oh, the Hamburglar? That's right. That's how he got to start. Right. He would drive around. He'd break out of jail, and then he'd throw hamburgers at people's faces.
I have oftentimes thought of Fred as the Hamburglar, and it makes me happy every time.
He's not kidding. He texts me this like late at night every once in a while. It creeps me out, but I kind
of
like it.
Do you eat a lot of hamburgers? Yeah.
Responds back with rubble, rubble.
No, not at all.
No, he doesn't.
I know. Who is this person?
I probably eat red meat like once every 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm about to start like a YouTube cooking show, and I'm having him. I have to have him over to do. He does this. It's a red pepper risotto with wild mushrooms. Mm-hmm. That, like, I hate mushrooms, mm-hmm, and I hate red peppers. I will eat every ounce of that he makes every time.
I gotta admit, I'm a pretty damn good cook.
You are a damn good cook.
And a baker. I'm gonna make some scones later today. Mm. Make some damn good scones.
Mushroom scones.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, some sweet scones, not mushroom scones. Yeah.
Sounds better.
Mushroom scones. Yeah, mushroom scones? What are you referring to?
I have no idea.
I was like, is that a real thing? Are people baking mushrooms into bread right now?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that too. I was wondering if you were going to like the edible marijuana kind of thing or something. I didn't know where you were going with that.
Some savory scones. Maybe.
Yeah, sure.
It's a new thing. I think you'll figure it out.
It's a new thing.
I'm sure throwing mushroom baked bread out of the window at, you know, just having a bunch of hallucinating homeless people wandering around the streets of New York. That would be interesting.
But the difference is, Eric, is there's nutritional value in that.
Good point.
So it's welcomed.
Mm-hmm. Mushrooms are very anti-inflammatory. So there's that.
That's right.
Indeed.
It's a good fungus.
And they're really good for getting you fucked up.
Oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. They are.
Amanda,
yes.
Are you going to be staying in Florida all your life? Ever thinking about going to Alaska? Like, do you see yourself living here forever? Do you like it here?
I love it here. It's beautiful, and I have family here, so I love that. I would say I'm pretty open. I'm not specifically seeking a new place, but you know, I've been in a position to where usually good things find me. Not always. Sometimes I've been in some tough situations, but most of the time I've found that I started with the career and then just kind of back ended from there. So if there were an opportunity in another country or another location, I would be open to it. I think because I don't have kids or own property, I can be a little bit more transitory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always ask people that. Some people have very different views of Florida and Sarasota. Some people think you could make it here. Some people can't wait to get out of here. So it's always interesting to hear everybody's kind of take on Florida, specifically Sarasota.
I do think Florida is a hard place to work. I've worked with some people that I feel like you could just write a book on what not to do, how not to run a company, or motivate employees. Oh, yeah. But I also have a lot of friends out of state that will tell me things where, you think that San Francisco, San Diego, they have such a strong tech community, but they're viewed as kind of like tech sweatshops as well, where the people are very dispensable. So I think some of it is just your perspective and also what you're willing to take. And I also feel like for us, our industry is one where there was a couple years where I actually worked remotely and the client was based out of Toronto, Canada. So I think we have a lot of flexibility. And if you feel like you do your best work in a different environment, if you haven't found your city or your location, I think it makes sense for you to go out and seek it out.
Yeah, absolutely. If you found yourself in a environment that's not conducive to your passions, you got to go.
I know too. Some of it has, it's your hobbies, you know, it's the, like I wouldn't do well in a place that I can't go outside for 6 months out of the year. So, and even I love Seattle. I think it's awesome. It's one of my favorite places to visit during the summer, but I find the raininess of it and how gray and the way the sky just feels like it's falling on you, kind of like London too. I love to visit, but I wouldn't like working there. But I also know a lot of people that find that really inspiring, but they're just kind of hunkered down and yeah.
Yeah.
I love the cold and the gray. Oh, it sounds so nice. Yeah. The opposite is true for me with the sun. The sun to me just feels like,
yeah.
I love dressing up like Paddington Bear, you know?
I have a fetish about the kid from what is it? The Pink Nightmare deal from the Christmas movie.
Yeah, Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol and stuff like that. Like, I just have a fetish for being like wrapped up and like all of that, all those layers of clothing and not being able to put my arms down.
Uh-huh. You look like a pink nightmare.
It's attractive.
It's liberating.
Except when you have to pee.
It is attractive.
Problem.
Well, you just go right in. Well,
with that many layers, problem come solved. On. Exactly.
Just a little bit of warmth. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Added bonus.
For a little while.
So, Amanda, where do you find inspiration for what you do? What kind of people do you look at? Sites, projects, conferences, podcasts? Where do you find inspiration?
Sure. I'm pretty specific where when I'm searching something out, I'll just search until I find that. Like, I guess Harvard Business Review has an Ideacast. And sometimes if I'm looking for something really specific, I'll kind of gravitate towards that because I feel like I can find a lot on business leadership and just some specific challenges that I'm having. Michael Corley actually is local, and he has a really great blog for, it's actually Generation X leadership, but I feel like it applies to millennials as well. So let's see. And then there's just things that I am passionate about and enjoy. Like I love working with Shelterbox. I work with a committee of people. I'm on their communications committee, and there's people from LA that are on the committee. There's people here locally in Florida as well. We have, I don't know, just like a range of personalities and also disciplines. There's people that make movies for a living. There's designers. There's other people that are focused on media relations, you know, getting ink published. So I really like that. I like any teams where it's cross-discipline, where everyone's bringing something a little bit different to the table. And then just digitally, I have a soft spot for, it's called No More Dirty Looks. And it's just this, two former beauty bloggers that, they came out with a couple books, but basically, and they have a blog, and it's about how a lot of the natural products that we use, our personal care products, have chemicals in them. So women put a lot more, we just use a lot more product than men. So we have on average 180 different chemicals that are in our bloodstream. So anyways, they have this, I know, isn't that crazy?
Oh, man.
Yeah. So pretty much anything you put on your face or on your skin gets absorbed into your bloodstream. And so there's things like, formaldehyde is in certain nail polish, or just like random things that you wouldn't think about, or lead in lipstick, or, anyways, and especially in, you wouldn't think of this either, but in, personal care products for babies, like petroleum and just things that maybe we shouldn't be having, but they do a really good
way to dial up Fred's paranoia. Here we go.
Sorry.
Welcome to the his day is now filled with fucking research on every product that he puts on his kid.
He's gonna go consume.
We've already been down that road. Yeah. We're on top of that stuff.
The environmental working group has a really great database. You can check all of your products there. So. But anyways, they have an awesome site and really great example for content marketing, and they do a lot of good curated content and user-generated profiles, that sort of thing. So I really love them. And Yeah, there's a few sites like that where I just find myself there whenever I have a few minutes, and I just always gravitate back. So, but it definitely changes with my mood. And wherever I feel like I'm deficient or just wanting to learn more about a particular thing, and then I tend to get obsessed, and that is my focus for like 3 or 4 months, and then I move on to something else. So,
yeah, it's easy. Kind of creative, like you can be anything can trigger your creativity or pique your interest, and once it does, it's over. You have to know everything about that. Like it's you have to become an expert at it for like about 2.5 weeks, and you can let it go once you feel like you've hit everything else in it and you just absorb it, and then eventually 3 years down the road it finds its way into a conversation you didn't know you were going to have, and you're like, I'm glad I spent that 2.5 weeks looking about the Western breeding habits of three frogs. But Amanda, thank you so much for coming on. We are running a little long for some of us today, so we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up, but thank you. You know, it's interesting to hear a marketing director's point of view in certain things, because I think that there are so many tech areas in business that have to deal or filter through marketing directors or filter up to marketing directors. So seeing that enthusiasm and that hunger for them to do well so that you can make your job easier and you to do well to make their job easier is pretty refreshing. So thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Bye, guys.
Yeah, just a sec, I'll check. Amanda Hug and Kiss? Hey, I'm looking for Amanda Hug and Kiss. Why can't I find Amanda Hug and Kiss?
Maybe your standards are too high.
Little SOB. If I ever find out who you are, I'm gonna shove a sausage down your throat and stick starving dogs in your butt.